We begin the current daven of the Shabbos daf lamed hey. We begin two lines from the top of the Amid. The Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, which spoke about the machlokes between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. How long is the period of Bein Hashmashos, which was related to the discussion in our Mishnah, which we spoke about Bein Hashmashos, and then we brought in the Braisa regarding the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that if it begins the time of the reddening of the eastern part of the sky, and if it continues into the part of the bottom part of the horizon getting dark or not, Rabbi gave a larger share and Rav Yisrael gave a smaller share. And the Gemara said that it's so to speak, Lishay Tassam, that Rabbi said it's three parts and Rav Yisrael said it's two parts, which the Gemara explained to me. And the Rabbi says it's three quarters and Rav Yisrael holds it's two thirds, and the difference between them is a half of a danka, which is 1/12 of a mil. So now the Gemara says that b'chilufa b'chalsa, that the reverse of their machlekes is regarding a basket, a totally different machlekes, but their opinions are reversed. And that is, we had a machlekes regarding the shear of Bein Hashmashos, that the opinion of Rabbah over here was three parts, and Rabbi Yosef was two parts. Regarding the machlekes about chalsa, it's in reverse. Rabbi Yosef has a larger share than Rabbah. That Rabbi Yosef says that although here he says it's two parts, there he says it's three parts, and Rabbah, although here he says three parts, there he says it's two parts. What's this machlek? It's Dama Rabbah, because Rabbah said chalsa bas tre kuri, regarding a basket that carries something that's two kord, shari l'tul tula. So then it's permitted to carry that thing on Shabbos because we view it that it has a taira of kli on it, it has the din of a vessel, and therefore on Shabbos you're allowed to move it. It's not muktzah. Ubas tlosa kuri osa l'tul tula. But if it's three kors, if it carries something of a larger measurement, then it would be forbidden to move it because it's too large and it does not, we don't view it as a vessel. Rather, it's like a armoire or something like that. That we say it's muktzah on Shabbos because it's not a vessel that's allowed to be moved. So therefore, two is muktzah, three it's us. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says, bas tlosa kuri, nami shari, that even three kor is also permitted. That's why we say that here Rav Yosef says three and Rabbi says two. Bas arba kuri asa, however, if it's four kor, then that's a much larger measurement. Then he would agree that it's asa, that it would already have it's not going to be considered a vessel anymore, rather, so to speak, like a building, and therefore it cannot be moved. So the Gemara says, Amar baya, boyimine demar b'shas ma'isa, that I asked from the master, that is Rabbah, during the time when I had a question, when I had to know what is the halacha regarding moving something, how big is it, if it's considered like an armoire or so to speak, something that's a dresser, that it's not a vessel, or if it is. And even if it was only the size of two kor, and still he didn't permit me to move it. So the Gemara asks, come on, who is that? Who holds that even two kor, it's not mutter, and that it's not a vessel, it's considered too big to be considered a vessel? Because even Rabbi himself had said that three is asr, but two is yes. Rav Yosef said even three is mutter. And here he said even by when he asked him lamaisa, he said, no, even two, you're not allowed to move. So Gemara says, kahai tana, is like the following tana. The tana like you learned in the Mishnah. Chaveres hakash, regarding a straw basket, chaveres hakonim, and a reed basket, ubur svina alexandris, and the cistern in an Alexandrian ship. And that is, they used to have these large ships that went out to the Yam HaGadol, the Great Sea. And the seawater is very salty, so they would make for themselves these large vessels, like almost like a pit, like a cistern, and they would put in good water into there to drink. So the halacha is, afa pi sheyeshlem shulayim, even if all these things have bottoms, however, and since behem machzikis memso balach, but if they contain the measurement of 40 sa in liquid, which there's no overflow there, shehen kurayim beyavish, which is two kor when they're dry, and that will be 60 so when they're dry. That's because the overflow retains a third of how much it would be inside the vessel itself. Because their vessels were made, like the Gemara says elsewhere regarding the yam that Shlomo HaMelech made, which was regarding the kir, that the height is half the width and it's round. So therefore, the lip of it, if it's a liquid, it would overflow. But regarding solids, it can, so to speak, pack it up there. Then that would be 60 kor when it's dry, which is 40 when it's liquid. Then the halach is tar, because we compare in the pasuk, it says kli eitz, a wooden vessel next to a sack, that is just like a sack, that it's carried when it's full and when it's empty. And this case would only be carried when it cannot be carried when it's full because it's too large, and if it would be carried, it would break in their hands. And therefore, the halach is, all these things that are that big, then that we see even two kor is going to be tahar because we don't view it as a vessel, we view it as something that it cannot be moved. So that's what, when Rabbi had told Abaye the halacha, he said even two kor on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move it because it's like this tana that says even two kor, which is 60 sa, is going to be tar because it's not a vessel. So to on Shabbos, it's not a vessel and you can't move it. Abaye comments on this and he says, Shema mino, from this halacha, from this Mishnah, we hear a different halacha that haigucha tilsahav, that the heap of, that there is more of, so to speak, solids than liquid, it adds a third. And the difference would be regarding the halachas of mekchememcher for business purposes, but that is that we see that for liquid, it was so to speak, contains 40 sa, versus when in dry, in solids, it'll hold up to 60 sa. Now the Gemara goes back and brings an incident related to the halacha that we mentioned in the previous daf, that Rabbi Huda said that the Zman of Ben Hashemashes begins when the eastern part of the sky starts becoming reddening. That's when it starts becoming Ben Hashemashes, then when it's already not clear if it's day already. So Abaye Chazi L'Rava, the Kodavi L'Marv, Abaye saw Rava, that he was peering out towards the west. So Amalei, so Abaye said to him, V'atanya, but we learn in the Braisa, Kozman Shepenei Mizrach Madimin. We said that Ben Hashemashes begins from when the eastern part of the sky starts getting red. So in other words, why Erev Shabbos are you looking to see if it's you could do a malacha or not to see if it's getting red? You're looking at the wrong way. You shouldn't be looking at the west. You should be looking towards the east. So Amalei Misavid Penei Mizrach Mamash. Rava answered, you really think that we're talking about the eastern part of the sky? Loi Panim Hamadimim Esa Mizrach. It means the part of the sky, the face, that reddens the eastern part. And therefore, it's really the main part is on the west. And that is, towards the evening, the sun begins to set in the west. That's where it sets. And it's only the residual rays, which, so to speak, make this reddish glow on the east, almost like a window, that the sun could be seen through it, and it, so to speak, makes the wall get red. So therefore, he was telling him, I have to look in the west, because that's really where the sun is setting. I have to see where it is. This that we said about the eastern part is not really related to the east. It's just that it puts this glow towards the east. But that's why I'm looking at the west, because that's the part of really to see where the sun is actually at. And it's just, it's the west that reddens the east. Ikadami, other being a different version of how this incident happened, that Rav Chazil Abaye, the Kodav Lemizach, Rav saw Abaye looking towards the east. So, because that's the halacha that we have to see when the eastern part of the sky gets reddened. Amalei misavi penei mizrach mamash. Do you really think that it's talking about the halacha that Ben Hashemash begins when the eastern part of the sky reddens? It's panim hamadim mesem mizrach. It's the part of the sky that makes the east red. But that's, in other words, you have to focus on the west, because that's what makes the east red. That's when you see that part of the sky to see if the sun is down or not. And what's your sign to understand this concept? It's the concept of a window. As we mentioned before, that it's the, so to speak, a window. So through that, the glow comes up on the wall. But it's not that part to see where the sun is at. Rather, you see the sun on the west as it's setting. That's the main idea. It's just that, so to speak, makes the eastern part of the sky red. Now the Gemara continues on to the next opinion cited in that Bryce on the previous daf. Rav Nechemya Omer, he argues on this man of Ben Hashemashes. He says, "Kedei she'halach odem mishutishka chamechatz mil." It's the amount of time that it'll take a person to walk a half a mil from when the sun sets, which we said is approximately around 9 minutes. So Rav Chanina said, "Haroitzel leida shiur Rav Nechemya." Whoever wants to know exactly what is this shiur of Rav Nechemya when Ben Hashemashes ends. For example, for a kohen that became tamei, that he has to wait after Harav Shemesh to become pure. So that what he should do is yaniach chama b'risha kamel. He should leave the sun when he's on the top of Mount Carmel, which is right before Shkia. V'yared v'yitvul b'yam, and then he should descend and toivel himself in the sea. V'yala, and then he'll go back up to the mountain. That is, so then he could go ahead and eat truma. That will already be considered the zman of a half a mil, that it's already nighttime already. V'zeu shiur sholem nechemya, that is the shiur of nechemya. That is, Har Carmel is a mountain that's on the edge of the ocean. And the sun, that when it's ready to set, you could see on the mountaintops. And then the time that it takes for him to go down into the water and immerse himself and come up, that already will be nighttime already. That's already the whole shear of Ben Hashemashes. So in a related topic, the Gemara says, whoever wants to see the well of Miriam, Yalo the Reisha Carmel, should go up to the top of Mount Carmel, which is related to the topic that we said before. The Yitzpe the Yirikim in Chvar Bayam, and they should gaze out and will see something like a sieve in the ocean. That is like a round boulder which is made like a sieve. The Zuhu be Erisha Miriam, and that is the well of Miriam. That's the well that went around, it followed the Jews in the Midbar for the 40 years. That was the rock that Moshe had originally hit. And it was in the merit of Miriam, as the Pasuk in Bamidbar Chaf says, that it says, V'tamasha Miriam, it says that there Miriam died. And right after it says, V'lohoyamayim la'edah, there was no water for the congregation. That we see that it was only in the merit of Miriam that the well was with them all the 40 years. And that's why it's called the Be'er Shel Miriam. That if a person looks out from Har Carmel into the Yam, he'll see that that was where it was put afterwards. That's where its rest is. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Mayan Hamitaltal Tar, a portable well is Tar. In other words, it will not be Makabal Tumma, and the person could even immerse himself in that, because it's not considered like a kli, like a vessel, to say that the water that's flowing from it is considered Mayim She'uvim, which is drawn water. Rather, it's considered part of the earth, part of the ground. V'zehu She'be'er Shel Miriam, the Gemara says that this is the well of Miriam, because you never have a spring that, so to speak, is portable, a portable well, only in this nest that happened, the 40 years in the desert, that was the Be'er of Miriam, that was the well of Miriam that in Har Meret traveled along with Klal Yisrael. So now the Gemara goes back and explains the shitas of the different Tanoim regarding the time period of Bein HaShemashes. Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmul, Bein HaShemashes Rebbe Yehuda Kehanim Tevlin Bay. Rebbe Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that this time period of Bein HaShemashes is what, according to the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, Kahanim are allowed to go ahead and immerse themselves in at that time period. And that is, although they need to have Harav Shemesh, they need, so to speak, the sun to be setting after they immerse themselves to be able to eat Truma. So therefore, obviously, he's considering it that it's daytime and that it's still time afterwards for the Shkiyas HaChama. So the Gemara asks Laman, according to whose opinion do you say that Kahanim could immerse themselves during the Bein HaShemashes of Rebbe Yehuda? Elam, the Behuda, we're going that's according to the opinion of Behuda, but Svekahu, Bein HaShemashes is a time period of Safik. And that is according to Behuda, that time period, what he's calling Bein HaShemashes, is a Safik according to him. That's why he's calling it Bein HaShemashes. So it's all one time period of doubt. And therefore, how are you allowed to table during Bein HaShemashes? Maybe it's already nighttime, and therefore you're not going to have Harav Shemesh, the setting of the sun, after you table. So therefore, the Gemara says, rather, it means to say that according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that time period of Bein HaShemashes, Rabbi Yosi would say that that time period that Kahanim could tivel, and that is, he says that's still day, and that is his Bein HaShemashes comes afterwards, and therefore you're allowed to tivel during the time period of Rabbi Yehuda. To which Gemara asks, Pshita, it's obvious that according to Rabbi Yosi, Kahanim could tivel during the Bein HaShemashes of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yosi says the suffix of Bein HaShemashes, the doubtful period, his was the third Shita, that's clarifying like in the blink of an eye, and that is anything before that is considered totally day, and the Shia of Rabbi Yehuda is much larger, and his setting of the sun takes much longer than Rabbi Yosi. So obviously Rabbi Yosi is right before night in the blink of an eye. So therefore, of course, that whole period you could tivel according to Rabbi Yosi. So Gemara says no, because Ma the Tema Bein HaShemashes Rabbi Yosi Meishich Shayich Rabbi Yehuda. You would say that maybe that the time period, although it's a blink of an eye, but it's attached, it's so to speak part of Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashes. In other words, at the end of Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashes, included in the blink of an eye is Rabbi Yosi's Bein HaShemashes. And that is when Rabbi Yehuda's completes, that when his Bein HaShemashes is over, Rabbi Yosi would also agree that it's nighttime already. So therefore, when you tivel and you immerse at the end of Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashes, maybe then there won't be any more Harav Shemesh setting of the sun. Now the Gemara says, Kamash Malan, Dishlim Bein HaShemashes Rabbi Yehuda, that first Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashes ends, and then that blink of an eye, the Bein HaShemashes Rabbi Yosi, that's when his thing starts. And therefore, that's what the Gemara was saying, that according to Rabbi Yosi, the whole time period of Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashes occurs a lot of tevel because it's still considered day. And then after that ends, then his, so to speak, his Bein HaShemashes happens in the blink of an eye, and that's the setting of the sun, and it's already nighttime. So the Gemara brings La Halacha, Amar Rabbi Baruchan, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda l'inyan Shabbos. Rabbi Yechanan says halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda regarding the halacha of Shabbos. That, in other words, the Isser Malacha, the prohibition of doing any work would start on Erev Shabbos when it's already Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashes, which is much earlier. Halacha Rabbi Yosi l'inyan Truma, but the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi regarding the halacha of Truma. And the Gemara discusses this. Bishlam halacha Rabbi Yehuda l'inyan Shabbos l'chumra. I understand that you're saying Rabbi Yechanan, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda regarding Shabbos. That's l'chumra. And that is what Rabbi Yechanan is trying to say when he says halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi is like this. In other words, he's in doubt. He's not sure if the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yosi. And therefore, he goes l'chumra either way. And therefore, when he says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda regarding Shabbos, he's trying to say that it's l'chumra, and that is before Shabbos, if you do a malacha already in the time period of Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashes, you would have to bring Asham Tali. But on Matzah Shabbos, you would not do like Rabbi Yehuda, and to say that his Bein HaShemashes, once that concludes, it's already night. Rather, it's not true. You would have to wait till after Rabbi Yosi's Bein HaShemashes. So I understand that you're saying like Rabbi Yehuda l'chumra. But what does it mean that we say that Allah is like Rabbi Yosi regarding Truma? Ilim le'tfilah, if you say that it's regarding the chiyuv of tefillah the kahanim have, that is, the kahanim could toivel in the Bein HaShemashos of Rabbi Yossi, as we said before, the Rabbi Yossi holds that during the time period of Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos, he holds it still day. But Tzveikihi, obviously Rabbi Yochanan is unsure about Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos. He's in doubt, and that's why regarding Shabbos, that he says, like him, L'chorma, that you can't do Malacha during the time period of Bein HaShemashos. So what does it mean that we go like Rabbi Yossi regarding Truma, if it means regarding that when the Kohen could tevel, they can't tevel during Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos, because Rabbi Yochanan is in doubt. Maybe that's already considered nighttime, and therefore they won't be having Harav Shemesh. So we continue on to Amud Beis. The Gemara says, El achilas truma, rather it's regarding the eating, the consuming of truma. That is, the Kohen cannot go ahead and eat truma, which they can only eat truma once it becomes nighttime, until the Bein HaShemashos of Rabbi Yossi is completed. And that is the whole statement of Rabbi Yochanan is l'chumah. And that is, we should not say that when Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos completes, then it's night and then you can eat. No, rather you have to wait until after the blink of an eye of Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashos, and then it's considered night. And therefore, the same thing would be regarding Matzah Shabbos, that we don't say like Rabbi Yehuda, rather we say like Rabbi Yossi, that night is much later and you have to wait till after Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashos, and then one could eat Truma, and then one could do Malacha on Matzah Shabbos, and therefore both of them are L'chumra. He's not sure if the Bein HaShemashos is like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbi Yossi. Now, the Gemara continues on to a similar thing regarding when does nighttime begin. Amr Behuda Amr Shmuel. Koichiv Echad Yoim. If there's only one star in the sky, that's still day. Shnayim Bein HaShemashos. If there's two stars, then it's twilight. Then it's not clear if it's day or night. Shloisha Laila. If there's already three stars, then that's nighttime. That's considered what's known as Tzisak Echavim. The stars came out. Tanya Mocha, similarly written in the Braisa. Koichiv Echad Yoim. One star, it's day. Shnayim Bein HaShemashos. If it's two, it's twilight. Shloisha Laila. If there's three stars, it's night. However, says, when we say the stars, we don't mean the large stars that can be seen even during the daytime. We don't mean even the small stars, which could only be seen during nighttime when it's dark and you could see things much clearer. When we're referring to the stars, for it to be considered nighttime, we mean medium-sized stars. So therefore, when it's three medium-sized stars out in the sky, that's called Tzeisak Echavim, that's when nighttime begins. Now, related to Bein HaShemashos, the Gemara says, Amr B'Yisr Barzvida, Ha'oysa Malocha B'Shnei Bein HaShemashos, that although we said that Bein HaShemashos is a Suffolk, it's not clear if it's day or if it's night, but if someone does a Malocha during two Bein HaShemashos, during two different twilights, that is, let's say, Erev Shabbos and Matzah Shabbos, in one lapse of awareness that he did this Malocha, so therefore there is not anymore an Ashem Tali, rather, Chayiv Chatzah Ben Manavchuch, he'll be liable in the Karba Chatzah either way, because if Bein HaShemashos is considered nighttime, so then you're liable for the Erev Shabbos when you did it during Bein HaShemashos. That was already Shabbos. And the Matzah Shabbos one then is nothing. But if Bein HaShemashos is daytime, then you're liable for Matzah Shabbos because that was still considered part of Shabbos. And then for the Erev Shabbos one, then you're not liable anything. And it's talking about that he did it the entire time period of Bein HaShemashos, where that you don't have to be mesupik that regarding the beginning and this one at the end, you did it the whole Bein HaShemashos. So either way, then, you're going to be liable for Karma Chatzis, not for an Ashem Tali. So the Gemara says that since it wasn't clear for people, for the masses, when was the Zman of Bein HaShemashos, when does night start? So Amalei Rava L'Shamei, Rava said to his attendant, Atun Dulekim Lechu B'Shiur D'Rabban, Yuho, you're not clear about, you can't fully understand the Shir of the Rabbanon, when is Bein HaShemashos, when's twilight. So therefore, Adeshimsha Aresh Dikli, so that when the sun is on the top of the palm trees, that's when you should light the candles. In other words, you should light the nears of Shabbos. When it's still day, then you know for sure if the sun is still there on the top of the palm trees, that's still day. That's when you should light. You shouldn't wait later because you're not going to know exactly if it's Bein HaShemashos or not. Bein HaShemashos, you really can't light. What about a cloudy day? Where then you can't see where the sun is. So then B'masa, in the city, Chazi Tarnagel, you should look at the roosters. B'dabra Urvi, and if you're in the fields, you should look at the ravens. And that is the roosters, they sit on the walls when it's still day. So too, the ravens, they stay in the field. Once it already gets dark, they leave. So therefore, if they're still there, that's when you should light. When they start leaving, you know it's already getting nighttime. Inami Uro. So Adoni, that is, you could look at this type of a grass that's called Malava. That is, the leaves turn towards the sun. And that is, in the morning time, it turns towards the east. When it's midday, it stands straight up. And towards when it's towards evening time, then it turns towards the west. When you see that, so to speak, it's already turning almost totally to the bottom, then you know it's already getting nighttime, and therefore you should light in the areas of Shabbos. So related to this, regarding the times of lighting Shabbos, and that Shabbos is coming and it's not clear and people have to make sure they're finished with Malachis, so the Gemara brings that the Chazal instituted certain times of reminders to the people to stop doing Malachis and that Shabbos is coming. Turn about, we learn the Braisa. Sheish Taki is taken Erev Shabbos. There were six blasts that they would blow on Erev Shabbos. And this includes also the teruas in the counting of the six. That is, there was tekiah, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, teruah, tekiah. Those were the six blasts that they would blow on Erev Shabbos. Rishayna lahaftel sa'am malacha Shabbos. The first one was to stop the people from doing labor out in the fields. And that is, they could have enough time to get into the city that they could stop their work and get into Bimakal Shabbos. Shnia, the second blast was lahaftel ir v'chanoyis, was to stop the people that are in the city from doing their work and from the shops that were doing business, mekach memcha, to stop them from doing that. Shlishis lahadlikas aner, the third blast was to tell people to light their neiris of Shabbos. This is the opinion of Reb Nosson regarding the first three blasts, what the purpose of them were. Yehuda Nosson, he argues on the third one, he said, Shlishis lachlitz tefillin, the third blast was to tell people to take off their tefillin, and that the lighting of the candle was by the fourth blast. So then the Braisa continues, the shoya kadeit sliyas dakot, and then the one who was blowing, he would wait for the amount of time it takes for a person to roast a small fish. Oyo, the amount of time it takes kadeit lahadbik pas bataner, to be able to throw on a slab of dough into the oven wall. That is, that there will be enough time that the surface of the bread could get dark. That is because they would blow these blasts early. That is, they wanted to accept Shabbos early to add on. You're supposed to do Taisa Shabbos from the weekday onto Shabbos. So there's really enough time because you can't bake something before the surface of the bread gets dark. So therefore, it's going to be enough time for people to do these preparations that it's enough time you can throw on a piece of bread that it's going to get dark before night. So therefore, he gave them, so to speak, this amount of time between the third and the fourth blast to go ahead and take care of this thing. Then, then he would blow the last three blasts, a tekiah, a trua, and a tekiah, so therefore that would make six. And then that's when Shabbos was chal. Then people knew it's Shabbos and no more malach. So Amr Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Manas Leim Lebelim. What are we going to do with the Babylonians? Shetekun Numerian v'shev simetech Merian. That all they do is a tekiah and a trua, and then they accept Shabbos from the trua. The Shigemara asked, Tekun Numerian, do they just do a tekiah and a trua? Havlu Chamisha. That's only going to be five blasts because the three, as we explained, the first one was for the people out in the fields that it takes them longer to get in. The second one was to stop the people from the city, and the third one was to light Neris of Shabbos. And then we say that there's tekiah, trua, tekiah, and the Babylonians only did tekiah, trua. That's only five, and we know that you're supposed to do six blasts. Ella, rather, what he said the Babylonians did was to Tekun the Chayzen v'Tekun. At first they would do a tekiah and then another tekiah. Umarian v'shev simetech merian, and then they would do a trua last, and they would stop Shabbos from the trua, which was a different order than it's supposed to be. It was supposed to be tekiah, trua, tekiah, and they did tekiah, tekiah, trua. So the Gemara says, minigav v'sein b'yudain, that was a custom they had from their fathers, from their ancestors, and therefore it's okay, you can leave them to do what they did, that although they did the six a little bit differently, that they were able to do tekiah, tekiah, trua, and accept Shabbos from the trua. So the Gemara says, mashne le Rabbi Yehuda le Rabbi Yitzchak Berei, Rabbi Yehuda taught to Rabbi Yitzchak Berei, that Shnia, the second blast, was lahadlik is in there, was to tell the people to light their candles. So the Gemara asks, come on, who's it going like? Like Reb Nosson, like Reb Yehuda HaNasi. It's not like Reb Nosson who said that it was the lighting of the candles was with the third blast, and it's not like Reb Yehuda HaNasi who says that the lighting of the candles was on the fourth blast. He's saying it's by the second one. Rather, Elishlish is lahadlik is in there. Rather, he told his son that the third blast was to tell people to light their Neir Shabbos. And that the Gemara says, come on, Reb Nosson, that's the Reb Nosson. So the Gemara continues, Tundaber Bishmol. Sheish tekiah is taken Erev Shabbos. They would blow six blasts on Erev Shabbos. Hischil l'koya tekiah reshoina, when they would start to begin to blow the first blast. Nimnu ho'imdim besodim miladim melachar. So then the people that were standing out in the fields would cease from their digging and from their plowing. U'malasas kol melachar shabbos, I'm doing from any work out in the fields. However, ve'ina kreven l'shoyin lichnis, the ones that were closer in the fields were not able to enter the city yet. Atshi yavoy ruchokin, until the further ones also come in, the ikansu kum kechan, that they should all gather and come into the city together. And that is not to suspect those who come in later to say, oh, they kept on working after they already heard the sound of the shofar, and that is, so to speak, they don't care so much about Shabbos, because people can't realize who's the ones that were closer to the city and further away from the city. So therefore, they all have to wait and come together, not to be cheshed those who come after all the other ones because they work further out. However, after the first blast, Vadayin chanus pesuches, the stores in the city were still open, utrisin munachin, and their window shutters were resting. And that is, those are like the shutters of the stores. They would take off the shutters and they would put it on pegs and they would put all their wares on there and sell all of it on the things over there. And at nighttime, then they would go ahead and put the shutters back on the doors of their stores. So therefore, the window shutters were still out and people, they were still selling. Once they started blowing the second blast, nistalku hatrisen, so then the shutters would be removed. And they would lock up the stores. However, after the second blast, people's hot foods that they were preparing, hot water, for example, to dilute the wine to be able to drink on Shabbos, that was still on the stove. And the pots of food were also still on the stove. However, once they started blowing the third blast, the one who had to remove his pots, he would remove it. And that is, to the people that they had the food for the night, they would take it off already. The hitman, hamatman, and someone who had to insulate his food would insulate it that it could be fit for tomorrow. And that is something that it does not increase the heat. It just preserves the heat. You let it wrap it before Shabbos. The hitlik hamalik, and the one that had to light the Ne'er Shabbos would light the Ne'er Shabbos. And then the shoyu could itzlius da'akotin. The one who was blowing would wait after the third blast, the amount of time it takes for someone to roast a small fish, because people were coming out from the field, maybe they didn't have food, so you could just, the amount of time it takes to that, or you could lahad big pas, but then we're able to attach bread on the oven, that again, it's going to get dark, the outer surface of the bread, before Shabbos, and therefore you're allowed to leave it in the oven. And then, as we mentioned before, then they do the last three tekiyas in concession, and you do the tekiyah, the true tekiyah, and then they makabal Shabbos from that. So I heard, if a person wants to, so to speak, I guess if it was an oinus or whatever it is, if he wants to light a Shabbos Ne'er, after even the sixth blast, he's allowed to light. And the reason is, because the Chazal, the Chacham, they gave a certain amount of time for the one, for the Shamish, that he was blowing the Shofar on the roof, to get amount of time to bring his Shofar home. And that is, there was a certain roof that was very high in the city that they had designated. And in the middle of that roof, that's where he would blow. And then he had to get home with his shofar. So obviously, it wasn't yet Shabbos, although people in Makabal did Shabbos after he blew the sixth blow. But he has to get home. He has to take home his shofar. So therefore, you, so to speak, if you need to, you could light even after the sixth blast. However, Amr Loi, they said to him, to this opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, Im Kain, if that's the case, Nasata Devrech L'Shirin, so then you're subjecting this ruling of when they're Mekabel Shabbos after the sixth blast to varying limits. And that is because then it depends how close or how far the Shamish is the Chazan's house is. In other words, if you're saying that Chazal gave enough time for him to take home his things, so therefore it's not really Shabbos yet, so therefore if it lives close, it might be 5 minutes. If it lives far, it might be 20 minutes. It's never clear how we're going to leave it so vague if that's the case. So therefore they argue on him. And it says, rather, there was a hidden place for the Shamash of the Shul on the top of the roof where he blew. That's where he put his shofar. And that is, because you're not allowed to carry a shofar or a trumpet on Shabbos. And therefore, that's even in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, where you're no problem about carrying, because it's considered muktzah. You can't use these things because it's something that's used for a malacha that's aser, that's for blowing the shofar. And therefore, you're not allowed to carry it. So he would put it down over there because it was Shabbos right after he blew. And that is that there is no time once the sixth blast has been blown. You're not allowed to light the candles. We don't give this extra amount of time for him to take it home because he leaves it right over there, or else it would be, so to speak, up in the air how much time it is that it'll be for Shabbos, depending how close he lives or how far he lives from where he blows.